In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text, our epistle reading from 1 Corinthians 13. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if you know my wife and I, you know that we like to be organized and ahead of the game before it happens. So, it rarely ever fails then that in the Philippic household, come August, beginning of September, my wife and I begin to compile a list, a Christmas list of gifts for our children to be used by grandparents and aunts and uncles, even us. But there is a point that comes when we seem to always look at the list and look at each other and look at the list and look at each other. And then one of us says, where are we going to put all this new stuff? Look around. You know, we have so much stuff in this house already, we don't need any more stuff. And that's usually when the annual thinning event begins. When my wife and I go through our children's clothes and toys and things like that. Now, they are much, much more mature. They are not children anymore when it comes to this. They agree and help us. In fact, they even cleaned up stuff on their own accord yesterday because they got sick of their stuff. But when they were unreasonable, completely unreasonable, when they were very young, my wife and I always kind of attempted to carry this out in secret, right? I even remember this time where the littlest one, still in diapers, I had an empty diaper box, and there I am stuffing in broken poison stuff in a diaper box, thinking they're not going to look here to hide it, right? Just to smuggle it out of the house. Well, inevitably, one of the children would always come in or dig through a box of toys or donatable items, and the protest began. But Mom! But Dad! I love that toy! They would cry. And the reasonable parent, one of us, would have to say, well, you haven't played with that toy in over a year. And then they would retort, well, I forgot about it, but I'm playing with it now. And off they would run with it in their hands. Now, it couldn't have been more than 5 minutes, and all of a sudden, the sound of brothers and sisters at play filled our house. Give it back! You shall not steal! That's mine! You need to share! That's when my wife and I intervene. Trying to teach the children that life is not about stuff, life is about people. And when toys become more important than people, then they become tyrants. When things get in the way of dealing with one another and loving one another, then the gift seems to be no gift at all. It brings, instead of unity, discord. Discord instead of friendship, selfishness instead of sharing, conflict instead of community. You all know what I'm talking about, right? Parents and grandparents. But in our text for today, it might shock you that these divisions are happening not among children, but among full-fledged adults. In Corinth, Paul is overwhelmed in his letter at the gifts of God that have been given and poured out to the people, to believers in Corinth. We're talking about gifts of knowledge and eloquence and miracles and faith and prophecy and various tongues and interpretation of tongues. And the list went on and on, to which Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, you already have more than you want. You have already become rich without measure. Without us, you are kings. In contrast to this, the apostles are being persecuted. In chains, they are suffering for the sake of Christ, while Corinth acts like a spoiled little rich kid of a millionaire father or mother who pampers the child, giving them everything they could ever want or everything they could ever need. And the outpouring of gifts has caused division among the people of Corinth. They begin to boast and they begin to brag, quibble and quarrel, puffing themselves up while putting someone else down. Earlier, Paul remembered how at the beginning I could not address you, Corinthians, as mature adults. I had to address you as infants in Christ, children. And I fed you then not milk, or not solid food, but I fed you milk. Because you weren't ready for the meat. You weren't ready for the solid food. Like children, these Corinthians are taking the gifts God has given them and running through the halls of Corinth shouting, "Mine! Mine! Mine!" They are doing this rather than using their gifts in service for their neighbor, delighting and wrapping themselves up in the gifts that each one has been given rather than using the gifts in love for service to their neighbor. They say that Christians, fellow Christians, are less than they are. You heard it last week in our reading. "I have no need for you," one says to another. "I'm better than you are. You are worth nothing in compared to what I can do and what I can say. You can't speak in tongues. I can. You can't give this gift. I can. You can't forgive. I can." And so it went. You know, you ever seen the bumper sticker on the back of cars that says, "He who dies with the most toys wins"? That's Corinth, right? But I would venture to guess that is not too different from our 21st century American church today. Gifts are different of the Spirit, sure. But what have we been given in our world today? We have cars, we have houses, we have clothes, we have campers, we have boats, we have fish houses, we have computers, we have smartphones, we have TVs, and everything else under the sun. And yet, we see someone in great financial need struggling to make ends meet, and in our head we complain about having to open our hands and our wallets and our purses to help them, because if we do that, we're not going to be able to take the vacation that we wanted to take. We're not going to be able to buy the things we wanted to buy for our family, the things that we said that we would do. And, of course, you also and I also eagerly think when people approach us, "Really? Seriously? You want me to give you money? You want me to help? You know how many jobs are out there in our community, in Wahpeton, in Fargo, and you're going to sit here and ask me for help? Seriously, go get a job." You ration in your head. We who have understanding and knowledge and desire to come to church because we know that this is where Christ is present, shake our heads at our brothers and sisters who have wandered and say to them, well, we don't even say it to them. We're not even that keen and bold sometimes. We just think, how stupid can you be not being here? This is what your life is supposed to be about. Your life is with Christ. You know what? If you don't take this seriously, maybe you don't belong here at all. And you don't go seek them. And you don't admonish them, and you don't love them, and invite them back here because you miss them. We who have ears, we wait, and we are nice, and we are polite, and ask you, "How is your day?" But we wait. We wait for you to say, "Fine." And we pray that you say, "Fine," because we don't have the time to give. To stop if you say, I'm not doing too well this week. We just want to be nice and we know the polite response, "How are you doing?" "Fine." But we really got a checklist of items and we want to move our day, and please don't stop us. Please don't tell us, "No, I'm having a struggle," because that means we got to stop and take time out of our day. That's how we tend to approach people. We who have gifts of forgiveness, we who have been given the most precious gift, "I forgive you all your sins," step out of these doors and refuse to give that gift to one another, to those who have wronged us. We hold on to our grudges. We ration that we don't like them. They've hurt us too badly. They're not worthy of it. They don't deserve it. And so we will not forgive as the Lord has forgiven us. Today, St. Paul has a word for Corinth as he has a word for us. And that word is this: enough. Enough. I have seen the gifts that God has given you, and I have seen not gifts, but where I should have seen gifts, I now see division. Enough is enough. I will show you still a more excellent way. Paul goes on to speak of a gift, the gift, that cannot be abused like others. The gift that you cannot hoard, the gift that you cannot possess, the gift that you cannot use to divide and tear down, a gift that will not break, a gift that does not grow tired or old, a gift that does not wear out, but continuously supports, continuously trusts, continuously hopes, endures without exhaustion. The gift, it's love. Love never ends, St. Paul says. I don't want you to misunderstand St. Paul, though. When Paul speaks of love, he is not talking about some sappy, sentimental, self-centered, subjective emotion that occupies numerous idiotic wedding sermons and is the center of so many idiotic slow dance songs. It's not about the feeling. It's not about the emotion. No, the love that Paul speaks of happens in verse 10, or chapter 10 and 11, and in chapter 12. Love is the eternal gift of God given to you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that you who believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. Love came down from heaven. Love became incarnate. Love was born of the Virgin Mary, born for you. Love is what happened here on the cross. Our Lord Jesus Christ loved you unto death. And he used everything that he had in service to you. His body, he allowed it to be torn to pieces. His cheeks, he allowed them to be betrayed with a kiss. His wrists, he allowed to be bound. His back, he allowed to be scourged with whips. His hands and his feet, he allowed to be pierced with nails. His ears, he used them to be filled with mockery. If you are the Son of God, come down from that cross and save yourself. But love is not selfish. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. And so he did not come down from the cross. He endured all things. And all things that he endured for you. Rather than coming down and rather than pouring down God's judgment, he used his dying breath to plead for your mercy, my mercy. Father, forgive them. Out of love for you, Jesus spared nothing. He gave up everything. He used all of his gifts for you. While we were still weak, at just the right time, Christ died for you and I, the ungodly. Greater love has none than this, that Christ should lay down his life for his friends. And that love, that self-sacrificial love, conquers our hard hearts, conquers sin, conquers death itself. Beloved, saints of the living God, saints of Emmanuel, this is the love of Christ, the inexhaustible gift that is here in your midst today. Baptized into that love, joined into that love, Christ has taken you and I, who were divided from one another and divided from the Father, and reconciled us with his holy, precious blood and innocent suffering and bitter death. There is no division between you and God, between you and one another. You are members of the body, all individuals, sure, all with respective gifts, but members of that body with Christ as your living head. What once were seen as toys for your own enjoyment are now tools, instruments of God that enable you to love God and to serve your neighbor. When I was a child, I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. I spoke like a child. When I became a man, I gave up my childish ways. Dear saints of the living God, you and I are not children. We are full-fledged, mature members of the body of Christ. Let us give up our childish, sinful ways. As God's chosen, as his holy, as his being loved, let us put on compassionate hearts and kindness and meekness and humility and patience and gentleness. Let us help one another. Let us support one another. Let us bear one another's burdens. Let us forgive one another as the Lord has forgiven us, so also we must forgive. And above all these things, let there be one thing that binds it all together. Love in perfect harmony. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you are called with one voice and as one body. Admonish one another. Live in Christ, teaching one another with hymns and songs and spiritual hymns, with thankfulness to your God in your hearts. Whatever you do this day and every day, do everything in the name and the sake of Jesus Christ, the love of God, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Saints of Emmanuel and Holy Cross, if you want it more simply put than that, let us love one another as God has loved us in Christ. Amen.